want to welcome y'all here today. We're doing something a little bit different with this series. We started out without that video cruncher, and it kind of throws everything loopy, doesn't it? I want to tell you that we welcome you all here this morning. As always, the talk that goes on in the auditorium is really geared toward adults and not toward the kids 12 and under. So I'd say we have a PG-13 rating here. We have an awesome kids program that goes on. And if you have your children here and really you don't want to end up explaining something to them at the end of the day that you didn't plan on before you came to church this morning, it'd be a great idea to go check them in if they're in here right now.
I'm taking my jangles off because otherwise some guy's going to have a fit, so...
She's jangly.
Don't mind me.
She's jangly. All right, so we're starting a new series this week called Fully Committed. And I'm super excited because my bride Amy is going to join me, God willing, for the next 5 weeks. And let me tell you, we're talking about relationships over the next 5 weeks. And one can only imagine what that might look like in our house as we get together and try and plan for talking about relationships with 9 kids still in the house running around. And so... a little bit crazy. Before we get going this morning, will you guys all bow your heads and pray with me? Father God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to share about relationships and a little bit about our life and a whole lot about you, God. I pray that no one would leave this room the same as they came in today, that we would have open ears and soft hearts, and that you would work in each and every one of us. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
So we name this series Fully Committed because some of you would say that being married really means that you should be committed.
That is not why we named it that. Well, I agree that marriage is tough and it can certainly have its moments or years of insanity. We wanted to take a look at
insanity,
and I said years, that we wanted to take a look at some of the things that can hold a marriage together through all of those insane times, and what it takes to be fully committed in a world that's really not committed to much of anything anymore. Statistics say that 50% of the marriages that start will not make it. And the younger you are, it's actually less likely that your marriage will survive. And if your parents were divorced, then you're 40% more likely to get divorced. And if your parents married after they got divorced, then you're 91% more likely to get divorced. If you and your partner have been married before, then you're 90% more likely to get divorced. They're not real
talk about gloom and doom, huh?
At all.
Happy Mother's Day, guys.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it just I'm reading about it going, what, huh? And it's no wonder why anybody wants to get married. People might say for better or for worse in their vows, but after experiencing worse over and over and over again, they just quit, you know, because better just never seems to come. And some of you right now are sitting here so wounded from the relationships that you've experienced in your life that you're just thinking that there's nobody good out there anyway. You know, why bother? Or maybe you're in a relationship right now that is in such bad shape that you doubt that even a good marriage is even a possibility. Some of you are doing all you can just to get by. You are barely hanging on. And that is exactly why we're doing this series.
We know what it's like to want to give up. We know what it's like to want to give in to what everybody else is doing and how everybody else is living when it comes to living together, having sex, getting divorced, nasty fights, things you regret saying, things you regret doing, doing things that you can't take back. We've experienced all of that. And we know that marriage can be hard and difficult and sometimes incredibly miserable. But we're not supposed to want to drive each other to divorce. And so through this series, I want to talk about how to turn our worse into better by taking a look at 5 commitments that we need to make and actions that we need to take to fail-proof our marriages and our relationships in our life. Now, does that sound like something that could be awesome? Yeah, it also sounds like something impossible, huh? All right, so I want to challenge you guys to hang with us through this and make these commitments, okay? So can everybody look at me and go, challenge accepted? That's what I'm talking about.
So We're kicking off our series in the book of Matthew, and that's towards the last half of your Bible. If you're here today and you don't own a Bible, or the Bible you have is hard to understand, then please make sure that you take one off the chair next to you before you go. You can also download the Bible app at uversion.com.
Yep, or go to the App Store and look for the little thing that says Holy Bible on it, and it's absolutely free, no ads, no nothing.
All right, so starting off in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "Seek first God's kingdom and what God wants. Then all your other needs will be met as well." Seek first God's kingdom and what God wants. It says seek him first. Seek what God wants. Do that first. God wants you to put him first, and he's going to take care of the rest because he's got the details. And you might be sitting there thinking, you know, you just read that, and what you saw there was, then all your other needs will be met. God said he's going to give me what I need. But you're missing the first part of that. It says seek him first. Seek him before you open your mouth. Seek him before you text that message. Seek him before you throw that cup.
Hypothetically.
Speaking. Just hypothetically. The first commitment you have to make to fail-proof your marriage is seek God.
Your marriage can never be what God created it to be if you don't do that. And it's not just for married people. It doesn't matter if you're single or engaged or shacked up or whatever is going on. God's got to come first in life, okay? Matthew chapter 22, starting verse 37, it says this, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion and your prayer and intelligence. This is the most important and first on any list." God's saying, I want to be number one. God wants you to be obsessed with him, passionate about him. He wants you to pray to him. He wants you to think of him before anything else, before your job, before your bills, before your worries, before your kids, and yes, even before your spouse.
And in that number two spot, Matthew 22, verse 39 says that you're supposed to love others as well as you love yourself.
I love myself.
Your spouse is supposed to come before you.
What?
Before your wants, before your needs, before your football game, before your girls' night out. You are supposed to love your spouse and think of your spouse's likes and dislikes like you would your own. For example, so suppose you're allergic to peanuts. And you come to my house, and I hand you a jar of peanut M&Ms. And your first thought is going to be that you're allergic to those peanuts. I mean, I'm not going to have to say anything. You're not even going to say anything. It's just, it's going to be the automatic reaction, right? I mean, boom, there. I thought of myself, I'm allergic to that. I can't have that. God wants us to have that kind of response to everyone, but especially our spouse all the time.
Not I'm allergic to them.
Not. Okay, you can see communication is next week. No. So we're supposed to love our spouse, to treat them, to think of them, to do for them, consider them just like we would ourselves. That God wants to be your number one priority and for your spouse to be your number two priority.
I mean, write that down. Put that on your fridge, on the dash of your car. Get those two things down in your marriage, in your life, and everything will change. Nothing should come before God, and then nothing before your spouse after that. Not your hobbies, not your work, not your parents, not your in-laws, not your friends, not drugs, not booze, not fishing, not hunting, not wheeling, not biking, not your kids, not anything.
Kids are important. Okay, we have 10, and they're a gift from God, but someday your kids are going to leave.
At least we hope. Well, I'm just saying someday, at this rate.
Someday your kids should leave before you die. If you're fortunate. And I say that because too often couples get that part messed up. I mean, the kids weasel their way in between mom and dad, and it causes friction in the marriage. And then when the kids leave home, if the marriage has actually lasted that long, it falls apart because they've never invested in each other all those years. You know, it was spent on doing everything and being everywhere with the kids. And for you single moms and dads, you got to find somebody that's going to put God first too. Because when you have kids, as much as you love them, you're going to have to put your spouse as your number two priority. So date somebody who is worthy of that spot. I mean, someone who has God first and you second and is going to have your kids right after that. Somebody who's going to die for your kids and protect your kids and love your kids because he or she has got their priorities in the right order.
Single girls and guys in the room, who would you like to be married to someday? You got to make God that number one priority in your life to prepare yourself for the day that God brings you that number two priority. God doesn't want you to spend all your time and energy and thoughts thinking about and looking for that person that you want to marry. Don't get your priorities messed up. God wants you to focus on Him and seek Him and honor Him and love Him and please Him and live your life for Him as your number one priority, and then become the kind of person that you'd like to marry. And really what that looks like is, you know what? You want to marry somebody who's had sex with 20, 30, 50, 75, 150 different people before they get to you? Go for it. Live like that, and that's what you'll get. If you want 50-50 odds of survival in a marriage, then live like everybody else does. But if you want something different, look around. Look around you and say, do you know anybody in your life that has a healthy marriage? That I would like a marriage that looks like that. Look around. And if you know somebody like that, then find out what it is they're doing. But if you want a marriage that's going to stand out, then you got to get the right start. And you got to make the decision to seek God first, to make Him the number one priority in life, and trust that He's going to bring that number two priority, that person, that special one to you when the time is right.
So to fail-proof our marriage, we have to seek God. And that's regardless of whether you're married or single. You've got to seek God by going to church, getting involved in a life group, reading your Bible, doing a devotional, and praying. And for you guys and gals that are married, you've got to seek that number one priority in your life with your number two priority. Okay? And so for any of you who might be confused on that, I didn't just say seek fishing with your buddies, and I didn't say seek the clearance section with your besties. Okay? You got to seek the number one with your number two, which means you go to church together. You get involved in a life group together. You read your Bible together. You do a devotional together. And you pray together.
Ouch. You're kind of harsh this morning. So nice. So seeking, I always bring her in to be the heavy. Good cop, bad
right,
cop.
Right.
Seeking God together is really a great way to fail-proof your marriage, because when you go to the one who's the glue, the one who can fix things, the one who has the answers, the one who can take the worst and make something great, that's where things all get better. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, okay, so, yep, check, I'm in church. I already go to church. And you might even think, well, you know, a life group would be okay. I suppose I could read the Bible with my spouse, that wouldn't kill me. I could maybe even do a devotional or something like that together. I mean, if that would help. But praying together? Let's take one step at a time here. I'll save that one for way down the line, because that's just flat out uncomfortable. Dudes in the room? That's like weird, huh? I'm not like bearing my soul in front of my wife. Like, that's uncomfortable.
We understand that praying with your spouse can actually seem more vulnerable than having sex. It was really a difficult thing for us to start praying together.
Let me tell you, I got 10 kids. You know what was easier?
What?
I'm just saying.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Sorry for Lineage children in the audience. Okay, so.
Well.
Okay. Oh, reel it back in. Okay, so, but what if... What if praying with your spouse was the one guarantee that your marriage was going to make it? I mean, would you put that off? I mean, or would you make sure that that was going to be the one thing that you tried to do, the one thing that you made time for? Check this out, because this is crazy. A poll revealed that among married couples who attended church together regularly, the divorce rate was 1 out of 2. That's the same statistic as for marriages outside of church.
50-50, baby. Okay?
Same thing. However, married couples who prayed together daily, the divorce rate was 1 out of 1,153.
That's serious numbers.
Are you hearing that? That is ridiculous, huh? I mean, that's just crazy. So it's just not enough to just come to church. Prayer changes things. And sometimes the things that change are us. You know, we change through prayer, through hearing our spouse's needs and desires and fears and concerns. Matthew chapter 18, 20 says, when two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'm there.
God wants you to come to him with your spouse, to seek him together, to put him first before your pride, before your anger, before your selfishness, before all of the junk that you got going on in your marriage. God wants you to seek him together because, you know what? It's really hard to fight with someone that you're praying with. It's really hard to commit adultery, to step out on somebody that you're praying with. It's tough to get hooked on porn when you got somebody that you're praying with. When you have consistent spiritual intimacy within a relationship and you're seeking God together with somebody, it's really different to get caught up in the things that tear so many of us apart. It's really hard to seek a divorce with someone who you're seeking God together with.
Now, you don't have to be intimidated by this because it just can be short and sweet. Just praying together before you get out of bed in the morning to start your day out right, or before, you know, before anything else has happened. Or at night is the last thing you do before falling asleep. And it doesn't have to be some big, long, drawn-out thing. It can be as simple as help me to be the wife or husband you want to be. Although I strongly suggest that the prayer wouldn't go something like this. Help him to be the husband he should be being.
God, would you help her to stop nagging today?
That ain't what we're saying.
That's not starting the day well. That doesn't work right.
And
honestly, there's you're missing the point in that. In that, God wants us to come to him with thanks for all the wonderful things that we have, and then for help to work on ourselves, to seek him better, to be closer to him. And even if your marriage is broken and you think that there is no way that this is ever going to work out, I want you to take a look at Luke chapter 1, verse 37, which tells us this: for nothing is impossible with God. There is nothing. There is nothing that he can't do. There's nothing he can't save. There's nothing he can't fix. There's nothing he can't resurrect. And I'm not just saying that I know that, because we've been there. We've been there. We've been to the point of wanting to give up. That this was not always our life. We didn't always sit in front of people and tell everybody how wonderful God was. In fact, I spent 30 years of my life telling people how stupid they were to even believe that nonsense. It's a crutch for the weak-minded, that whole God business, okay? That was my life. And when Amy and I got married, we didn't follow Jesus. We didn't pay any attention to any of that. And we were at one point in our life where Amy was ready to leave. And I was doing everything I could to push her right out the door. I wasn't doing all of the things that I should. And I probably was doing most of the things that I shouldn't. Our marriage was one piece of paper away from a divorce. I had lost her heart. I wasn't the guy that she fell in love with, and quite frankly, she wasn't the girl I fell in love with.
And I really thought that there was just nothing that I could do to fix that. But before I left, I gave prayer a chance. I mean, that may sound crazy. I figured I had nothing left to do. I had tried everything else. And it's too bad, really, that that's the last thing I did. But at least I got there. And it changed everything. And, you know, I was thinking about it even this morning, that I know that some of you are just absolutely broken, and I know that, try and remember what it was like, because we're not there anymore. But had we not gotten through that and had we not done that, we wouldn't be here today, because we wouldn't have started this.
No, and here was the interesting thing: that I wasn't aware that she was doing this. She actually got a book and she started praying the book that she was praying through was telling her to pray for herself first and pray about all these things that were going on in her life. And so, like I said, I wasn't aware that any of this was going on, but there was a change that started to occur in her. And there was also a desire that started to occur in me to want to change. And looking back, we can attribute that to nothing other than God working in and around and through this. And she'd be the first to tell you, we're married, and marriage still has struggles.
Yeah, our marriage has not been great since then all the time. I would love to tell you that it has, but it hasn't. We still have our struggles, and there are still times where it is hard because marriage takes work.
I don't think you've thrown anything at me again, though.
No, that was hypothetical.
I'm sorry. I don't think I've thrown anything.
Come on now. And
hypothetically speaking.
And it really, marriage really takes a lot of work when you're both oldest children, you know. And so, you know, I look back on times where we struggled the most, and really it's when we quit praying together. You know, it's like clockwork. And so even if you are in a spot where you have given up on your marriage, you need to know that God hasn't. Okay, because God is in the business of second chances. And the devil, he's in the business of destroying that hope. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." The devil is real, and he doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want your marriage to last, especially if you're a Christ follower, because if he can ruin your marriage, it makes God look bad. It makes people doubt God. It makes you doubt God because God didn't save your marriage. And the devil absolutely loves it when people doubt God. But God can't save what you don't give him. You got to hand your marriage over to him to fix, to care for, and to maintain. You've got to do your part in this. You've got to pray. And even if you're single, it is never too early to start praying for your spouse.
Let me ask you a question. How many of you have insurance of some sort? Life insurance, car insurance, health insurance, homeowner's insurance, renter's insurance. People make sure that they have insurance. Sometimes because it's forced on us, but other times because it's there for when crap hits the fan, right? It's there to bail us out. Prayer is marriage insurance. When you do that, it's covering and strengthening you before all that stuff hits the fan, splat. And if you're single, start praying before you get married because that's your insurance. If you're parents, start praying for your children now, for the spouse that they'll one day have. We pray for our kids, and we've told them to pray for the one that God will bring them. Amy prays with the little kids at night and says that, you know, God, help these kids to grow up to be the kids that you want them to be, and also for the person that you've chosen for them. And when our kids turn 13, we've got this thing that we do with them, and we actually talk to them and tell them that from this point forward, you need to start being really specific about asking God to provide that person and protect that person that you're one day going to marry, because right now they're out there living life too. And so covering them in prayer ahead of time is a good thing.
Now, we understand that if you're married to somebody who doesn't believe in this whole Jesus thing, then they're not going to pray. But don't give up. Get up in the morning, ask your spouse how you can pray for him or her, and pray every day for God to soften their heart so one day God is going to be at the center of your marriage, just like he wants to be.
Now, maybe you're one of those that doesn't believe this whole Jesus thing, and it's like, oh boy, somebody drugged me to church, and that's cool. We want you to know that we are so super thankful that you're here, okay? This is a great place to come hang out. It's okay to doubt. It's okay to ask questions. This is a safe place to be and not be looked at for being skeptical. There's no pressure. Some of you are here today because you're tired. You're tired. You're worn down, and you know that the way you're living your life is not putting God first, that he's not number one. He's not on top of everyone. And I just want you to know this, that there is no special magic in a prayer. There is nothing that you can do. There is no way that you can buy your way to heaven to spend an eternity with God. It's already there for you. It's a free gift. And it all happens Because God loves us so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to stand in our place and pay the price for our wrongdoing, for our sin, for when we fall short, for when we screw up. Because we just can't help it but screw up, each and every one of us. And God can't do anything but look at perfection. And so when we're screw-ups, it's like, he turns his head from us. And so Jesus comes along and stands in that place for us. He pays the price for us. He pays the penalty for us. If that's you this morning and you're here and you're like, man, I just don't know where life's going. I don't know what the purpose to all of this is. And I'm really feeling like something needs to change. Then maybe today is the day that you receive that forgiveness, that you just say, hey, I can't do this on my own. I don't get this on my own. And I really would just like this load off my back. If that's you this morning, right now, I want to just give you the opportunity. I'd like everybody in the room to bow their heads. There's nothing weird or uncomfortable here. If that's you this morning, I just want you to pray along with me. You can pray silently right there in your chair. God knows your heart, and God will hear your intention here. And you just say, Jesus, I need you. I have messed up in life, and I am so tired. I'm so tired of fighting and trying to get this right on my own. And I finally realize that I can't do enough good. I can't be a good enough person. And even if I am a good person, that's not enough. Jesus, I believe that your death and resurrection stand in place for me. And I would willingly receive that. Thank you for that gift. Give me a fresh start. Start the clock over from here forward. I want to do things different. I want to follow you. I want to make you first. I pray this in your name. Amen. Now, if that was you this morning, and for the very first time you said, Jesus, I receive that forgiveness. Thanks for that gift. First of all, I want to welcome you to the family of God. That's a big deal, okay? And so you're like, okay, so what? I prayed. Now what? I want you to stop on the way out of here by the Experience More table downstairs and just say, hey, I prayed with Mike. We've got a gift for you. And in that is a card that'll give you a little more information about, hey, now what? What does this all mean? Also, you got a program when you came in, flip that program over, and on the back of the connection card, check that you made a first-time commitment to Jesus today, because that's really a big deal, and we want to celebrate that with you. It's time for the weekly challenge. Yeah?
Yep.
Each and every week, we end the talk with a challenge, and I challenge everybody in the room to kind of walk out the things that we have talked about today. Now, again, I say this because it doesn't matter what you do, that doesn't make God love you, okay? It's not by what you do, it's what he's already done for us that gets that love. But in order to have a relationship with somebody, you can't just sit next to them and not talk to them. You can't just be with them and not have conversation and learn more about them. You don't have a relationship if that doesn't happen. You need to spend time. And so by walking out the principles in the talk, we gain relationship with Christ by engaging with our Bible, by praying to God, by listening to God, by showing Christ's love to others around us. And so this week I want to challenge all of you guys. If you're not in a life group, join a life group. Throughout this series, we're going to be doing some different stuff with the life groups. And in the life groups, we're going to have discussions for both married couples and for singles. So you're not going to want to miss this. And if you're not really sure about what that's all about, commit to it for just the next 5 weeks. You can sign up in the hallway on the way out. We've got groups that meet on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays right now. And if we get a whole boatload of people, I'm sure we'll come up with a few more.
Woo-hoo. Yes. Number two challenge. If you are married, we've got something that's really cool. It's a 5-week devotional. So each week there's going to be another one that's going to be posted.
Devotional, what's that?
Devotional. Just kind of the challenge on a maybe a little more personal level, because it's something that you're going to do with your spouse. So it will ask some questions and have you talk about it and kind of get you to be praying together, so that maybe, you know, if that's awkward for you, that this will be helpful. You know, sometimes it's easier to read a prayer, which is actually how that started out for me when Mike's talking about that. It was The Power of a Praying Wife is the book that I was reading. And it was very helpful to me because I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to say. And so sometimes reading the prayers make that easier for you.
And what you found is that it wasn't as complicated as you thought.
Absolutely, because it's just talking to God and telling him what you think, even when you're upset and angry and you want to give up. And so we've got that. That's going to be online at our website, and you're going to be able to get that
Monday afternoon
when the audio goes up as well. And then for singles, that we would challenge you to pray for your spouse every day this week, that you would pray for God to to show you who it is that you need to become for that spouse. And as you pray, make a list of those things that God is telling you that you need to become so that you're able to look at those things and really put those into action. And so we're challenging you to pray every day for this series for the next 5 weeks. And this is something we really want you to think about and take really seriously. We understand that some of you are going to be like, no way, I ain't doing that. And that's totally fine. Okay, there is absolutely no pressure here, okay? What we're going to challenge you here to is if you're married, that you would commit to pray with your spouse for the next 5 weeks, every day, okay? And if you're in a relationship, you know, you're dating with somebody, that you're going to pray together every day for the next 5 weeks.
And 35 days.
And if you're single and you want to be married, then you're going to pray for that spouse every day for the next 5 weeks. And if you're a mom or a dad, you're going to pray for your kid's spouse for the next 5 weeks every day. Okay? It doesn't matter if you have never prayed before. It doesn't matter if you don't like your spouse right now, or even if you're not together. It doesn't matter if you think prayer is, there's no way it is ever going to change anything, or if you're uncomfortable with it, okay? Because we just look at that statistic that we said earlier, you know, 1 in 2 versus 1 in 1,153. You know, what do you got to lose? It's 5 weeks out of your life, right? Okay, so take that challenge. And if you're willing to make that commitment to say that I'm going to seek God first, then we want to ask you to stand up where you're at, and don't feel bad. If you do not want to do this, please do not stand up. There is no pressure.
I want to just pray for you guys. Nothing weird. But if you're willing to make that commitment, that you would just stand and say, you know what, I'm going to commit to praying with my spouse or for my children's spouses to be for the next 5 weeks, okay? So I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. And like I said, no pressure. If you don't stand up, there is no harm in that. Don't do it if you're not going to do it, because then somebody's going to be going, well, you stood up and you didn't pray with me for the next 5 weeks, and that's just a bad scene, okay?
Don't be hitting your husband right now,
that's
women,
right.
And say,
you
get your butt
don't
up out of that chair. That ain't going to do it.
Thanks, guys. So I just want to pray for you guys. Father God, I pray for everyone who's standing, who are single and hope to be married one day. God, I pray that they would fall in love with seeking you and making you number one, the number one priority in their life, and making their spouse to be that number two. God, help them to trust in your timing to bring that second priority in their life to them when the time is right. Bring them someone who puts you first so that they can do great things together in a marriage for you.
And for those who are standing that are dating or in a relationship now, I pray that they would seek you together and put you first so that they can build this relationship on a foundation that is going to be strong and has its priorities in order. And God, for those who are standing and are married, I pray that we would all seek you with our spouse, that we would get out of our comfort zone, that we would pray together, that you would mend and heal any brokenness that is in our marriage. And as we seek you together, we pray that over the next 5 weeks that you would do absolute amazing miracles where there is lost hope or even no hope in the marriages.
And Father God, I pray for everyone who is a parent who's standing. I pray that each of us would be good examples of putting God first in our life. And for anyone else, we pray for the child that's coming into their life future. God, heal those people who are hurting here today, whatever marital situation or relational status they're in. Help each and every one of us seek you at every day and throughout this series. Change our lives, God, as we make you the number one priority. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. All right.
Go ahead, have a seat.
Go ahead, grab a seat, guys. Okay.
All right.
Fourth and final challenge this week.
It's the never-ending challenge.
It is. I'm sorry, but they're just so good. The sick crew is coming around, and they are coming around with a piece of paper that we want you to take. It actually has got the verse Matthew 6:33 on there. The seek first God's kingdom and what God wants, then all your other needs will be met as well. What we want you to do is to take that piece of paper and put it in a place where you're going to see it this week.
Stick it on the fridge, stick it on the mirror.
On the bathroom mirror.
Dash
memorize
your car,
it. Pray about it. Ask
somebody's
God to
forehead. Well, somebody you look at a lot.
Do not bring that out when you are having an argument. Okay, ask God to help you seek him first in everything that you're doing. Just really focus on seeking God. Single, married, doesn't matter. Seeking God.
You know, guys, God wants our marriages to be awesome. But in order to do that, we've got to commit to seeking him first, to putting him first in our life. I encourage you guys to join us next week as we talk about the next commitment to fail-proof our marriages.
It's going to be awesome.
It is, absolutely.